What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. This is Faraz Siddiqui. I am going to go over week two matchups today. Going to go over the first eight games in this podcast, and then tomorrow we're going to drop the next eight games. We're definitely going to talk about that Thursday night game, that thrilling Giants and Washington football team game on Thursday night. And listen, after not having football for so long, I'm just happy there's football. I'm thankful, all right? I'm not taking it for granted in week two, okay? Joey couldn't make it for this podcast, but that's okay. I'm here to give you what I can in terms of these matchups, what to look out for, you know, a little bit of week one usage as well. You know, I'll definitely go into, you know, some guys who I'm looking at this week as potential buy lows. Guys who, you know, might have performed a little bit too high, but their usage, you know, their performance was, you know, maybe a little bit more elevated than what their usage indicates. If that makes sense. I don't know if it does. I'm recording this pretty late at night, so a lot of things that I say might not make a lot of sense. But I hope everybody's doing well. I hope everybody got who they wanted on their waivers. But let's get right into it. Giants and Washington football team. As far as Saquon Barkley goes, like, I'm expecting another limited workload. Going up against a tough defense, too. This is probably an avoid if I can. Like, I'm okay missing out on Saquon's first big game, right? It's going to come at some point. But if he's still limited, we should see more from Sterling Shepard, right? Who's a fine wide receiver 3 start this week. He's not Keenan Allen, but, you know, Allen was able to do his thing last week, running most of his routes out of the slot. And Shepard did run about 69% of his routes from the slot last week. Evan Ingram likely out again. So Shepard should see some targets after seeing a very healthy 25% target share last week. Kenny Galladay should see his target share increase. It was at 17% last week. I do expect that to be, you know, over 20% for the season. And he has the upside of hitting 25% at some point as well. So, you know, you can put him in your lineup. It is a little bit of a tougher matchup, but, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, he's a wide receiver 3, you know. So, you know, if you have better options, sure, go for it. But I'm not, like, looking for a reason to, like, to bench him or anything like that. On the other side of the ball, Terry McLaurin has a tough matchup against James Bradbury this week. This seems like a clear shadow situation to me. You know, we'll see what they do here. The Giants actually did a relatively decent job last week against perimeter wide receivers. They gave up some catches, but that's really about it. You know, Sutton was kind of shut down as well. Like, I'm not going out of my way, like, you know, with McLaurin to bench him. You know, there is some unknown, you know, with Taylor Heinicke, but, you know, listen, McLaurin, you know, against the Giants, you know, he had good games. It's tough to say, you know, that I'm looking forward to this game for McLaurin, but, you know, if I have another legit option with a good matchup, like a legit wide receiver too, with a good matchup, I'm fine doing it, and I'm fine avoiding, you know, this 41-point over-under that this game has as well. I think it's the lowest scoring game on the slate. But yeah, so if McLaurin is shadowed, Logan Thomas can potentially be targeted a bit more as a second option on this passing offense. His A-dot was, like, right there with McLaurin, believe it or not, and was even higher than Diami Brown, who's known as, like, his downfield guy. So, and his route participation was above 90%. So he's going to be in my lineup this week if he's my tight end 1. Antonio Gibson's workload is very solid. He's getting almost all the work in the run game. He got all the targets, in the pass game as well. McKissick got none. And yeah, like, he's not the passing down back. Like, McKissick's still on the field for a lot of that, but Gibson's being targeted when he's running routes, which is what you want, right? Like, it's concentrated targets. It's similar to, like, to what you saw to, like, Aaron Jones last year, right? And the year before too. So Gibson, you know, he's an RB1 if this usage continues. I'm starting him for sure. The Giants gave up the second most rushing yards last week, and that was mostly because of that one big run by Melvin Gordon, but it does show that, you know, they might be susceptible to that sort of thing. All right, moving forward to Saints and Pat at Panthers. It's a 44.5-point total right now. You're obviously starting Alvin Kamara. Tony Jones, like, he's not a standalone start just yet. He didn't get much work until they decided that the game was out of hand last week against the Packers. You're starting CMC, obviously. Tough matchup, but it doesn't matter. I think Marquez Callaway is someone to monitor, and if you want to start him out of necessity, sure. But otherwise, like, I'd rather just leave him on my bench until he proves it with some targets and some production. Like, I'm not dropping him yet, right? Like, if you're considering that. He wasn't shadowed by Jaire Alexander last week, by the way. But, he did play all of the snaps for the Saints and ran all the routes. So I'm hoping that he could bounce back. Now, Adam Trautman and Juwan Johnson are dart throws at tight end. Johnson obviously was the guy for Jameis in the end zone last week, catching 2 touchdowns. But Trautman ran way more routes than Johnson did and also led the team in targets. So I'd say that Trautman is actually the better start between the two guys. You know, until we see Juwan start running more routes, you know, his production will be less predictive. And their quarterback, Jameis Winston, he makes a fine streaming start this week. He could potentially be your quarterback all year if you decide to pick him up and stream him. Now, on the other side of the ball, DJ Moore was the clear wide receiver one for the Panthers last week. 24% target share. He led the team in air yards. Robbie Anderson, you know, only 3 targets in this game, right? Pretty disappointing. The one ball he caught was for that long touchdown. You know, great for the revenge game narrative, but not so great in terms of, like, overall usage. I'm not sure I'd want to depend on that right now, especially in this matchup. I might be looking for another option for Robbie. Depending on, you know, if they use him a little bit differently this week, then that'll be great. But, like, it just, those 3 targets, it was not what you want to see, right? Terrace Marshall, you know, it might be part of the reason because, you know, he's really making his presence felt, you know, in this 3 wide receiver set. He was targeted more than DJ Moore on a per route basis last week. He was the main end zone target. And, you know, we know that Sam Darnold loves to target the slot, and that's what he's been doing, right? And that's part of the reason why. And he's running most of his routes from the slot. If I can acquire him right now, honestly, like, I would, by the way. So, tough overall matchup for these guys against the Saints, so I knocked them down a peg, but DJ Moore is still a borderline wide receiver too this week. Okay, moving on to the Bengals and Bears. Looks like a 45-point total on this one, so it's a decent total there. Joe Mixon, finally a bell cow. First time in his career. 78% of snaps. He's getting all the work in the run and pass game. It's finally happening. He's a top 5 running back if his usage continues. This matchup isn't amazing, but it really doesn't matter. The Bengals can easily attack that secondary, give Mixon multiple chances inside the 5 to score. He's also going to be involved in the pass game, so his floor is high. It's just one of those situations where you're always starting your studs, and Mixon's usage makes him a stud right now. Now, that secondary on the other side of the ball, like, you know, you definitely want to have Ja'Marr Chase in your lineup. You can definitely have T. Higgins in your lineup, and hopefully Tyler Boyd can provide some wide receiver 3 numbers for you, or at least be a solid PPR flex. The Bears, they gave up the 5th most fantasy points to wide receivers last week. Great matchup. This Bears secondary is going to be vulnerable all year long, so I'm looking to start any and all wide receivers against this Bears secondary. It just looks too easy for the Rams last week. And also, like, we knew that this secondary was going to be bad. Who else? David Montgomery looked really good last week, right? Like, unfortunately, Damian Williams is pretty involved in the pass game and is his complement there. So he is the guy coming in, like, on 3rd and longs and stuff like that. And he's also coming in on certain passing situations. But that's okay. You know, David Montgomery did look good. You know, we're obviously not seeing the same usage we saw last year when he had that big run where he was, like, an every down back. But, you know, as long as he scores, you'll be happy. I think, like, the way he's running, and he looks pretty good. So he's a solid RB2 this week. Allen Robinson, you know, he gets a much better matchup this week from what he had last week against Jalen Ramsey and company. You know, he's a high-end wide receiver too. I'm hoping that his usage gets a little better in terms of the kind of routes he was running. I think there was, like, a graphic that, like, the NFL Next Gen route chart graphic was going around, and it wasn't encouraging. It wasn't great. And it's just like, you know, you look at Adam Gase. Oh, did I say Adam Gase? I'm sorry. I meant Matt Nagy, who's the second coming of Adam Gase. But, like, I don't know, man. This offense is just, I just feel like it's been underperforming, right? And you think, like, how long is Matt Nagy's, for lack of a better word, how long his leash is going to be, right? But yeah, we'll see if Justin Fields can turn it around, and he better turn to Justin Fields pretty soon. Honestly, I have a feeling it's going to happen. And Darnell Mooney, like, he isn't a start just yet. He's really just a bench stash until Justin Fields is the starter. And it might happen sooner than you think. So I'm picking up Justin Fields where I can, especially if you need a quarterback. Cole Kmet is a streamer this week in deep leagues. I wouldn't be starting him in 10 or 12 team leagues. If you're in a 14-team league, that's kind of where I'll be considering it. Unless, like, everyone's holding, like, a backup tight end and you have, like, no options, which usually isn't the case. I'm assuming that Kmet is available in most leagues. And if you're in a deeper league, then, yeah, sure. Okay, moving on to the Texans and Browns. The Browns favored by 12 points in this one, point total of 48. This game just screams Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, mainly Nick Chubb here. Both guys should be in lineups this week. As bad as you thought the Texans were, the Jaguars were way worse. And they're not going to play the Jaguars every week. So don't expect the Texans to, like, do their thing against against the Browns the way they're anywhere close to it the way they did it to the Jaguars last week. I do expect the Texans to have to throw a lot by necessity, but I don't think they have much success. Like, the Browns can rush the passer. Obvious passing situation is not going to be good. You can start Brandon Cooks as a wide receiver 3, but I'm personally avoiding if I can. I know he was able to get it done last week, but the Jaguars' defense and the Browns' defense are on two completely different ends of the spectrum. So on top of that, I can see the Browns owning time of possession here too. It doesn't look like a good time for Tyrod and the rest of his team. So I think if anyone, the game favors David Johnson. I wouldn't start Mark Ingram in this one. You know, if he scored a touchdown, great. Like, but it's not going to do much for you without some volume on top of that. So if you're in a PPR league, I think David Johnson is a flex option if you don't have many other options. OBJ is out in this game as well. So Jarvis Landry is, like, a legit wide receiver 3 play with wide receiver 2 upside. He probably gets vaulted to wide receiver 2 with OBJ out, especially considering his usage. And last week without OBJ, Landry was the guy. So there might not be a ton of volume to go around here, but Landry should get his in the first half, at least, in a good matchup. All right, moving on to Rams and Colts, 48-point total. Darrell Henderson pretty much had 100% of snaps to his name last week. Sony Michel came in for, like, a snap or two, but that was it. You would think that Michel would be playing much more by now, right? Like, that trade was a few weeks ago. For now, Henderson is in must-start territory, even in what looks like a tough matchup on paper, right, against the Colts. The Rams are favored in this game, though, so the Colts secondary can give up some yards, too. So, you know, Henderson has a couple different ways to score for you, right? Well, he'll have chances to score, you know, as well. By the way, he got 100% of the goal line carries last week. Not only that, in the pass game, like, even though he got, like, one catch in this game, he was also on a route on almost all of Matt Stafford's dropbacks last week. So he's shaping up to have one of the best usages and the best roles of any fantasy football running back at this point. Matt Stafford, like, looked great, right, in this offense. Super efficient, looked easy for him last week. Him and Sean McVay together, you know, you kind of saw this coming. I'm definitely rooting for Matt Stafford. You know, I know a lot of – see, like, whenever I hear about people hating on, like, any quarterback or anybody, like, in that position, like, I just end up rooting for them. Lamar Jackson, Matt Stafford, you know, guys who think that, like, you know, like, they just suck, right? And, like, you know, they're in better situations, and with better situations and better coaching, I think they can do their thing, honestly, and better weapons too. But he's a quarterback 1, Matthew Stafford, right now, fantasy quarterback 1 with this scheme, his weapons, and, you know, in this game, that high point total is looking good too. And Cooper Kupp, you know, he's the beneficiary of the Rams going back to 11 personnel. You know, he's going to continue to ball out. Robert Woods is going to be fine too. It was interesting. Last week, he wasn't in for, like, all of Matt Stafford's, throws, right? We'll see what happens this week. And it was fine, like, it was high enough, but, like, it wasn't, like, at 100% like it usually is. Van Jefferson was closer to that threshold than Robert Woods was, and Robert Woods was coming off the field a couple times for DeSean Jackson. I'll still be starting him as a wide receiver too, but I'm hoping that that we don't start getting concerned with his usage. Tyler Higbee, man, he is somebody who I'm definitely not concerned with usage. He is getting elite usage right now. He ran a route on 93% of Stafford's dropbacks last week. And for a tight end, honestly, that's nuts. 24% target share, only behind Cooper Kupp. If this continues, he has a chance to be a top 5 or maybe even higher tight end this year. And he's in your lineup regardless of matchup right now. Now, on the Colts side of the ball, It's a tough matchup, especially through the air. I'm not excited about any of the Eagles' pass catchers this week, including Devontae Smith. Like, he is a legit wide receiver three right now, considering his usage, and he can be fine. But he's not like a must-start or anything, right? Jonathan Taylor's involvement in the pass game last week was awesome. Really hope that that can continue. That would basically mean that if that does continue, like, he's not playing on passing downs, but if it does continue, that would basically mean that him and Nyheim Hines would account for, like, 40, 45% of total target share. Like, I doubt that that continues. But, like, I think 25% or so between the two of them can be sustained and be just fine for them. That was RB1 usage, obviously, from Taylor last week, and Hines definitely involved. Hines is a PPR flex himself until further notice, until his targets go down by a bunch, because he got a bunch of targets last week. Now, as far as Carson Wentz goes, I'm not streaming him this week. I was fine streaming him last week, but this week, not so much. Broncos at Jaguars. Broncos favored by 6, 45.5-point total. Now, I'm not excited to start Melvin Gordon or Javonte Williams because of their near even split last week, but this is the Jaguars, right? And if Mark Ingram can get it done, one or both of these guys can. So I'd normally rank both as flex options, but I'd upgrade them to like upside flex options. I don't think neither will be ranked in my top 24. I don't think, at least. I'm not obviously done with my rankings, but I don't think so. Gordon isn't going away right now, especially after his big play last week, right? Like, you could have easily seen, like, Gordon struggles, 2-3 games in a row. But no, it didn't happen. Like, everyone who drafted Javonte Williams was watching that Melvin Gordon run like, no, please no. This is just going to delay everything, right? So he's not going away right now. He's also preferred in the pass game as well. Now, we didn't get a chance to see either get a carry inside the 5-yard line. Now, as far as, like, short down and distance, I think it was Javonte Williams got a little bit of an upper hand there. He got a couple more snaps there than Melvin Gordon. But I honestly, like, Melvin Gordon's usage in the passing game is a little bit more preferred than what Javonte has right now. So Javonte has that long-term upside, but, you know, Melvin Gordon honestly might be the better start if I had to start one today. With Jerry Jeudy out, Noah Fant is like a top 7, top 8 tight end option at tight end. He kind of already was, but there are other tight ends like that are above him that, you know, you kind of just rather start. He's pretty safe. He has a little bit of upside because of his athletic ability. I do think that Teddy Bridgewater holds him back a little bit, but at the same time, Teddy Bridgewater is the type of quarterback who will target Noah Fant. Noah Fant was like his favorite target last week outside of Jerry Jeudy. So the matchup is good enough here this week with Noah Fant. Tim Patrick becomes a flex option. I'm not sure I can rank him as a wide receiver three, and if he is, it'll probably be like a low-end wide receiver three. I still think Courtland Sutton gets the majority of targets with Fant, and then you know, Patrick will get fed after that, I think. So, you know, decent enough matchup for you to start him in, though. I'll probably start Sutton as a solid wide receiver three this week. On the other side of the ball, DJ Shark was the guy most involved and with the highest upside at this point, you know, from, you know, how they used these wide receivers in week one. So after not playing at all in preseason, getting hurt early in camp, of course, he's the one to be the target leader. 24% of target share compared to Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault's 18%. He led the team in air yards as well. Didn't connect on more than half the targets, but the usage is promising. Like, I'd start him as a mid-wide receiver three right now. I'll move Marvin Jones and Shenault to, like, low-end wide receiver threes. In most games, they're going to pass a ton, so they're all playable. You know, it's possible that the distribution becomes tighter at some point, but, you know, this week the matchup is slightly tougher, you know, particularly for Shenault against Bryce Callahan out of the slot, but on the outside, it's not terrible. Now, it sucks, but James Robinson is a flex option at best right now. Like, he's sharing the rushing work with Carlos Hyde. Hyde's even the primary ball carrier right now with Robinson playing the passing down work. It's possible that Robinson's role grows, but I just don't trust him right now. He's not there yet. Hyde is still very involved. I have to mention James O'Shaughnessy. You know, this dude ran as many routes as Laviska Shenault. Got almost as many targets as Shenault and Marvin Jones. So if he's out there and you're looking for a streamer, like, he seems like a relatively high floor PPR option if they keep using him like this. Like, who knows? Like, maybe he sees the end zone target or two on top of this type of usage. That would actually, it's crazy that we're talking about James O'Shaughnessy, though, as a fantasy option. Only Urban Meyer. Only Urban Meyer. All right, let's move on to the Bills and Dolphins. 47.5 point total. Josh Allen last week, you know, he had a tough time against the Steelers. Not the first time, but he'll obviously be back in my lineups this week against Miami. Devin Singletary played on 75% of snaps last week and still couldn't get anything going. He's just a flex option, unfortunately. They're just not passing to their running backs at all, despite him running a ton of routes. They're super pass heavy, so they're not giving him enough carries. Also, who knows, maybe Zach Moss is active this week. So you just kind of have to avoid this backfield completely. It sucks because this is a great offense, and you would think you want a piece of this backfield. Now, you know, if Zach Moss is already inactive again, you know, 75% of snaps is 75% of snaps. So you kind of have to play Devin Singletary as a flex option, you know. Stephon Diggs is in, you know, obviously despite a potential tough matchup against Xavier Howard. I'm assuming Howard shadows him in this game. He did it late last season. But even in that game, Diggs still produced, and he produced even while in Xavier Howard's coverage because he's a baller. Cole Beasley, you know, simply a PPR wide receiver 3. Like, he finished as a wide receiver 2 last year, and he has the same role this year despite the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. So you can start him any week. And honestly, this might be the week to start the guy running routes out of the slot, given that the two perimeter corners the Dolphins have, you know, is Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. Now, I have a feeling that Tua Tagovailoa is going to creep into the top 12 quarterbacks this year, given the way the Dolphins are attacking through the air. You know, Will Fuller's back this week. You know, he has weapons. Devontae Parker, Jalen Waddle, Myles Gaskin, Mike Gesicki. So it's really tough to start. And they're like a downfield, like, aerial attack. That's how they're playing right now. So, you know, it's really tough. At the same time, like, it's funny I say that because it's, like, tough to start these Dolphins wide receivers unless you need them in your flex. Like, you really need to know their role with Fuller back to see, like, who's running the most routes, you know, where they're running their routes, all that, right? So I'll definitely look into that after this game. For now, like, you know, I'm avoiding, you know, their matchup isn't great either. Like, I'm avoiding only if you have that, you have the liberty to, right? Like, if you have, you know, Mike Gesicki, I'm not starting. His usage wasn't good. In terms of, like, Jalen Waddle, like, I'm okay starting him. He still has upside. Devontae Parker, you know, has solid upside. Will Fuller, first game back, I might avoid. That's kind of how I'm playing it. Now, Myles Gaskin is in a 3-man backfield. He only played on 54% of snaps. You know, Malcolm Brown, Salvin Ahmed involved. He does have the receiving role on lock, though, pretty much. So he'll get his targets. So, you know, you can probably start him as a back-end RB2 right now in PPR. And if you're not in PPR, I'm not sure what he brings you. Unless he goes for, like, a big play touchdown, honestly. Okay, moving on to the Patriots at Jets. Low point total at 43. Patriots are favored by 5.5 points. Another low-scoring game here. New England did a pretty good job last week against Miami's wide receivers as a whole. Corey Davis is, like, the clear wide receiver 1 for the Jets. But Jamison Crowder is coming back this week. Elijah Moore, you know, might see some more targets. This defense is pretty good, so we do have to bump, you know, Corey Davis down a bit despite the big game last week, especially that second half that he had. You know, I'll call him, like, a wide receiver 3 this week without a ton of upside. Wide receiver 2 on most weeks. As far as Elijah Moore goes, I'm keeping him on my bench as long as possible. Like, I'm very curious to see his role with Crowder back. And, you know, if he ends up with a full complement of snaps and routes again, like, I'm definitely keeping him on my bench. So, you know, and I want to see if he rotates at all, right? With Crowder, you know, if Keelan Cole rotates in at all. So we'll see how that goes. You know, Moore has a lot of upside. So I'm keeping him until, like, you know, he gets enough opportunity for me to judge him on. And if he ever gets that opportunity, I do think that he'll ball out. He did have a ton of air yards, though, by the way. And he had a couple of catches that were called back in this game, even though he had, like, I think a total of minus 3 yards. Now, this Jets backfield is a complete mess. I'm staying away, especially in this matchup. Damian Harris, great start this week. I expect the pass to be up all game, and the game script will be in his favor. So he can easily see 20-plus carries for the second straight week. Touchdown dependent, obviously, but he'll get volume. Now, this isn't a James White game script coming in, but he can still get you 5 to 6 catches, even in this type of game. Like, they were in a neutral game script last week against Miami, and he still got you, like, a ton of catches, right? If the Jets choose to try to take away the tight ends that they have, the wide receivers that they have, then, like, James White can easily get peppered with some targets underneath. Now, all the Patriots pass catchers have some upside this week because of what the Jets lack in the secondary. Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry don't seem like startable assets at this point, judging by their usage last week. Nelson Aguilar, might get a big play, but Jacoby Myers is the play over him for me. He had a 25% target share last week. He was in a route on almost every pass that Mac Jones threw, so he's the guy, even though Nelson Aguilar had the bigger week. Does that make sense? I hope it does. You can play Nelson Aguilar because it's a good matchup, and he can easily, get over that Jets secondary that hardly exists. So, he's like an upside, flex play, I guess, right? But, yeah, that's pretty much it. So, I think I went through, 8 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yep, that's all I got. So, I'll come back with another 8 games tomorrow in tomorrow's podcast. I think Joe's going to join me for that one. So we'll have a little bit of a conversation about these games. I hope everybody has a great day. I hope everybody... you guys are going to hear this on Thursday. So enjoy the game. Enjoy Thursday night's game, despite it being Washington and New York. But yeah, guys, take it easy. I'll talk to you guys soon. See ya.